stop looking at porn and win back your freedom for smart, family-oriented men who want to learn to sustainably let go of porn in a way you can enjoy and look forward to. Learning to be proud of the man you are and making life so good that porn becomes irrelevant. I'm Danny Pullman. I'm a certified life coach, and I've been coaching guys on this for many years now, and have been in the porn quitting game for years beyond that. I'm using this podcast to share what I've learned and what I continue to learn on the way with real client examples from the hands-on work I do with clients day in and day out. This is a movement. It is happening. Join with us and start winning against porn now. Hey guys, welcome to the How to Stop Looking at Porn and Win Back Your Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Danny Pullman, and I'm glad you're here. Today, we're talking about something really important. We're talking about why it's important to stop wishing that you never had desire to see naked women. Why it's important to stop wishing you didn't want to masturbate to porn. And why it's important to stop wishing that you didn't have sexual ideas, thoughts, feelings, or urges pop up along the way to begin with. Okay? We're basically talking about why it's important to stop wishing for these things right away. It's really more of a practice, right? But you'll get my point. Okay, so first of all, do you find naked women attractive? And a little side note here. I'm using the word women because most of my audience and this particular client example that I'm referring to today has to do with that, but I know that for some people it's men, it's women, it's trans, or it's all and in between, and right, so there's that whole spectrum, and I don't want to be exclusive. I'm just kind of speaking to the main chunk of my audience, but we're not exclusive here, I promise. And then just making the presentation part of this easier on myself. All right, so client, I was talking to the client this week, and he's like, so I just have this sticking point. I just find naked women very attractive to look at. And I was like, why is that a sticking point? He's like, well, it'd just be so much easier. I asked him, like, if you could get rid of that and just not find naked women attractive to look at, would you really want that? He's like, well, kind of, yeah, because it would just make things way easier. I was like, okay, why? Why would it be easier? What's the real thing here? He's like, well, there'd be less discomfort, less judgment, less resistance, less flip-flopping. Okay, those are the four things that came up for him, and there might be others too. So for you, I invite you to think about this for you. Like, if part of you fantasizes about that just being gone and not even being a thing, then why is that? And is it similar to these four? Is it something else? If it's something else, feel free to share it with me, DM me, or comment under the podcast post on Instagram, okay? We're going to talk about these four today because they're good ones. And so I said, all right, so the real problem isn't that you find naked women very attractive to look at, okay? The real problem is these other four things: the discomfort, the judgment, the resistance, and the flip-flopping, all right? So what if we address these four things and then we realize that it's not actually a problem that you find naked women very attractive to look at? And anyway, so this is what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about these four things. I'm going to go through kind of what they are, expound on what they mean, and then I'm going to talk about ways to start addressing them, okay? So first of all, the discomfort. The first note on discomfort is that most of the discomfort from these urges that people have, right? When you have urges to see more, to go look at something or to fantasize about something, right? That discomfort that comes along with it, or urges to view porn, most of the discomfort comes from you resisting the feeling of the urge, okay? And that's going to be part of the next few things we talk about, so I'll get more into that, okay? Also, it can be uncomfortable when you have these two different parts of your brain disagreeing with themselves, right? It's called cognitive dissonance, and it's like your lower part of your brain is like, hey, we have an urge because we've learned to have urges for this thing that we get a dopamine reward for. And your upper brain is like, yeah, but that's not in line with my values or the long-term type of habits that I want to develop for myself. Like short term, I get it, but long term, it's not in line. And you disagree, and it can be uncomfortable, especially because a lot of people use a really forceful approach, full of resistance and judgment. And we're going to get into that, okay? But when you remove all that other stuff and it's just the feeling of the urge, a lot of you might not really know what that feels like without all the resistance and judgment. But when you learn to boil it down to just that, it ends up being like this really just mild discomfort, barely a discomfort. But you'll realize that most of the discomfort, like I said, comes from resisting and judging in the first place. Okay, so let's move on to the next few. All right. Oh, the other part of discomfort is that I wanted to say is when you've made a habit of escaping uncomfortable feelings, we call this buffering, trying to use something external to you to change how you feel internally or to escape. Then when you have that urge to view porn and you don't act on it, but the urge is telling you to do it to escape an uncomfortable feeling, then what are you left with, right? A lot of times you're going to be left with the uncomfortable feeling that you would have otherwise spent some time escaping from. All right. And my theory on this is that you can't actually escape only negative feelings. For all the negative feelings you escape, you're actually checking out from an equal amount of positive feelings, right? One of my teachers taught me this. And when you think of it that way, it's like, okay, I'm not just escaping negative, I'm escaping my life. I'm escaping positive and negative. You can't do one without the other because we're kind of meant to have a mix of positive and negative as humans. So, anyway, so those are some things that can come in the discomfort side of things. All right. And then when it comes to resistance, that basically what resistance is this is when you lock horns with the urge, okay? You're in a hurry to get rid of the thought or the feeling. You're feeling threatened by it being there. You kind of make the urge the focus instead of just noticing it and letting it go amongst all the other things that you're already noticing and letting go, right? But we kind of like make it a focus. And then this is like where white knuckling can come in, right? It's like you just use that willpower, just fighting, pushing, right? There's tightness, there's energy draining, it's exhausting, it's pressure, it doesn't have to be this way when it comes to urges for porn, but this is how a lot of us have learned to do it. It's kind of instinctive. And then I used to think that it was the non-Christian, non-religious people outside of church that were the ones all obsessed with sex. But I heard this guy recently giving a talk, and he was addressing the Catholic Church, and he's like, "You guys really are obsessed with sex." And he's kind of being funny. I know a lot of you won't want to hear this, but who are religious, but that might mean it's worth saying, because I like to shake things up when it can be more helpful. So bear with me. But there really is kind of this overplay, over discussion of sex and all the judgment that comes with it. There's so much weight added to it with how it's taught in churches and religious circles that it can actually make it more of a focus than it really needs to be. And it's kind of on accident, I think. But like the goal is to try to get people to act in line with a certain code or law of chastity or whatever, right? But then the accidental side effects are that maybe you're with all that religiousness, it's becoming way more of an obsession and a focus than it would have been otherwise, right? And I actually see this with clients I work with. Like, it's just a lot harder for super religious people to change their habits around pornography than it is for the non-religious. And why is that? Because there's obviously some kind of thought patterns that have been happening in church that are not necessarily super helpful for this habit change, right? So, all right, got that one. out of the way. Next one, judgment. Okay, judgment is one of the best ways to resist a feeling. So we just talked about resistance. Judgment is another way to resist. And it's when we tell ourselves, like, oh, I just had this sexual thought, or I had this desire to go look at porn, and this desire shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be happening. Oh, I find naked women attractive. I shouldn't. I really shouldn't even want to see naked women who aren't my wife. And right, like, that shouldn't even be a thing. It's bad. It's even there are even scriptures that say it's like second to murder and how bad it is that I even want this, right? And just all the judgment that really is optional. It's optional whether we judge ourselves in that way for having this. Okay. Next one, flip-flopping, right? Flip-flopping can, there are a few different kinds of this. And the first one is not deciding, which is people think that not deciding is not deciding, but it actually is deciding because you're deciding not to decide and not to like take action or yeah, move forward on something. So it is actually deciding, but yeah, people not deciding or thinking they're not deciding is the first one. And then the next one, let's say you have an option in front of you with an urge, for example, and the option is, okay, part of my brain says go look at porn, and part of my brain doesn't want to, and so am I going to or am I not? Okay, and you kind of flip-flopping there is going back and forth, like, okay, I'm not going to. Wait, but am I? Maybe I will. Oh, maybe I won't. Am I going to? Right? And you just kind of spend that time like considering and going back and forth. Okay. Another kind of flip-flopping is when you've already decided something, but then you're second guessing. Okay. Like you've already made a decision. Maybe it's even with an urge again. It could be with something you scheduled or planned for yourself. This can happen in so many ways, and it's all related to the same muscle in your brain. But let's use the urge example again. Let's say you had an urge and you decided, okay, this urge is here, but I decided I'm not going to act on it. But then the urge is still there, and you're like, wait, am I going to not act on it, or am I going to now? Right? It's kind of similar to the other one, but it's different because you've already decided, and then you're just second guessing the decision. And then the other kind of flip-flopping is basically rejecting past decisions that you've made. Even if it's long in the past, the way that you judge those decisions is a way of being non-supportive with decisions you had. And it's almost like you're trying to change your decision that you already made in the past that already happened retroactively, even though that's not an option. It's another version of flip-flopping, I feel like. And that's related to these other ones. So judging the way you judge your past decisions is another form of flip-flopping. All right. So we got these four things. My client, remember, he's like, I just wish I could not find naked women attractive. It would solve so many problems. Like what problems? Well, the discomfort, the judgment, the resistance, the flip-flopping. Okay, so let's address these four things: the discomfort, the resistance, the judgment, and the flip-flopping. So first of all, the discomfort. All right, so I did want to talk about buffering here, so let's make sure that we do that. Like, first of all, just be aware of buffering. Be aware of times that you are trying to escape uncomfortable feelings. And that you're using something like porn or overeating, or there are so many ways people do this, right? Overworking. I'm not going to list them all, but just start becoming aware of times that you are trying to escape being uncomfortable by distracting yourself with other things, okay? That's buffering. And it's not that all buffering is good or bad, it's just let's become aware and then get intentional where it helps us, okay? And you get to choose what's best for you. And then part of this, one of the skills that is going to be required with discomfort is learning to not make the discomfort a problem, okay? A lot of the problem with discomfort comes from people just saying it's a problem. And when you start making room for discomfort to just be there and not call it a problem, this can change everything. But a lot of us have learned to think thoughts about discomfort that are like, oh, this is bad, or something's gone wrong. I need to fix something. Like, so yeah. And so just start noticing what your narrative is around uncomfortable feelings that make it a problem when it doesn't need to be. And then what if we just make room for, you know what, as humans, discomfort is going to be there, right? Like with an urge for porn, discomfort's going to be there either way. Which type do you choose? Do you choose the discomfort that takes you toward your goals and the life you want? Or do you choose the one that makes you feel like you're running in circles and stuck in, you know, rinse and repeat mode? So, but I really like this idea. Like, what if we just make room for it? Discomfort is gonna be there either way. Which type do you choose? Right? So that's one thing to just bring in the mix, start practicing with. And then also, of course, addressing resistance and judgment is going to help a lot. So we're going to talk about those next, because that's where a big source of the discomfort, the unnecessary discomfort comes from. Okay. We're not trying to eliminate all discomfort, but there is a lot of unnecessary comfort that we layer on top of the necessary comfort that we really don't need, and it's optional. So let's go to resistance here. How do we address the resistance? Basically, the first way to start doing this is just start noticing your thoughts and your feelings, especially those sexual ones and the ones around urges for porn or finding naked women attractive, right? Like, just start noticing when they come up in your mind and just be like, oh, there it is. And let it go, let it pass by. Be mindful, be present, right? By the way, this is something my client that I'm using the example of today, he's really wanting to practice being present because he sees how that benefits him with this habit change stuff, but also just generally in his life. So this, what we're talking about is like the perfect opportunity for him to practice being present, right? Not just wish that he didn't find naked women attractive, but actually be present with that desire that pops up along the way, right? So those are some of the starting points, right? When you go through a meditation practice, like I love the Headspace meditation app. You practice noticing it, maybe you name it, right? You tune into your body and all the present conditions, your five senses sometimes. You get into a state of curiosity and you try to get away from preconceived judgments on what you expect to find and just be curious and observe, right? You really want to practice being in that observer position with your thoughts and feelings. And this counteracts a lot of that resistance. And I don't like the idea of it counteracting. I just feel like it releases, it relieves and releases that resistance, okay? It lets go. It helps you let go of the resistance. And you just kind of let it pass by. One of the analogies I like is it's like you're standing by a road with, and it's stop and go traffic. Cars are passing by, and sometimes they go faster than others. Other times there's kind of a traffic jam, and but they're still moving, just slower. And then what we do with these cars are our thoughts and feelings, okay? So if you do nothing, like they will just pass by. They will. A lot of the problem comes when we like to get involved and get out there and say, no, you car right there, right? You, the red Chevy with the low inflation left back tire, right? Like you need to go back the other way. You got to go back. You're not welcome here. You shouldn't be on this road. Like, why are you even here? And you start lecturing them, like, and meanwhile, you're blocking all this traffic. You're causing more of a traffic jam. You're expending all this energy and you're arguing and creating conflict where there doesn't need to be, where you could also just kind of let that car just pass on through, right? And not create more of a traffic jam. Just let it flow through. You like, oh, there's that red Chevy. There it is. It's moving. And oh, there it goes. It's gone. It passed by out of my sight. not on your mind anymore, right? So it is a practice, but a really important one, and one that can just be such a game changer and make life so much better, guys, for reals. If you don't have a meditation practice, I recommend getting in on it ASAP, especially if you're here working on this stuff, listening to this podcast. Okay, and then in the Chainbreaker program, in our coaching program, we call this new skill allowing and processing an urge, right? It's a new skill for most guys. And in the program, we teach you to master it, okay? And we practice, we learn strategies how to do that. So, those are the ways we can start addressing the resistance, not fighting it, not counteracting it, but more releasing it. You get me? Okay, the third one, let's talk about judgment. How do we address the judgment? I mean, it's kind of like we just talked about with the mindfulness, but also notice the narrative you're telling yourself and maybe stop telling yourself it's bad, right? Like, or that you shouldn't. I shouldn't find naked women attractive. It's bad that I had a thought that was sexual just now. Like, that actually creates resistance. It creates unnecessary discomfort and even suffering for a lot of people. And it mucks up, causes traffic jams in your brain, right? So instead, maybe flip the script and say, you know what? It's good. Or maybe it's just neutral. Like, it's not good or bad that I just had a sexual thought. It's just sexual thought. That's it. Like, not good or bad. It popped up. It came through. I let it pass through, right? Like, maybe you should, instead of you shouldn't, like, maybe you actually should have ideas and desires along the way that have to do with wanting to see naked women or sex, right? And just keep in mind that wanting to see them and wanting to act on seeing them are two very different things, right? So we're not condoning any sort of behavior. We're not trying to like remove ourselves from being responsible for what we choose. We're just finding ways to make this all easier and more effective to reach our goals, okay? And one of the ways to do that is let it be more neutral when these things pop up in your mind, like, okay, there's that red Chevy again. So there it is. Not good or bad that it's here. There it is. It's passing, right? So maybe it's good that it's there even. Like, it's just there. That's it. So check your narrative around there and start choosing thoughts that let it be at least more neutral, and even positive is an option. Why not bring more positivity? Is that really a bad idea? Okay, last one, flip-flopping. So we talked about the different versions of flip-flopping that show up. Basically, in short, we want to learn and practice supporting yourself in your decisions that you've made. Okay, stop being so obsessed with finding the right decision, trying to have it be perfect and perfectionistic, right? And practice making decisions without all the information and learn to support yourself through your decisions. Okay, stop prolonging decisions that don't need to be prolonged and practice making faster decisions where you can, where it makes sense to. Okay, some decisions, yeah, maybe it makes sense to take a little bit more time. But also, a lot of times you're going to gain a lot more headway in your life by just deciding and taking action on the decision than you are researching and spending all this time trying to find the right decision. Like, you're going to learn so much more, so much faster by just deciding and going a lot of the time. Okay. And then next time you have an urge, a way to practice this would be plan to decide what you're going to do with that urge, like whether you're going to act on it or not, your urge for porn within the first minute. Okay. So once you notice that you're having an urge for porn next, you could run an experiment here and just tell yourself, I'm going to decide. Deciding within the first minute. And this prevents a bunch of exhausting flip-flopping. At the very least, it's just a gift to yourself that way, right? I'm going to decide within the first minute what I'm doing with this urge, as soon as I notice it. And I'm going to support myself on what I decide. Even if you just plan to do it later that day, right? You might not be able to act on the urge right in that moment, but if your decision is to act on it, then just say, okay, I'm going to act on it. tonight, 6 p.m. right? Or you go the other way, like, I'm not acting on this one. I'm gonna feel what feelings come up till it passes. But the idea is just practice deciding faster and save yourself from unnecessary back and forth, exhausting, energy draining, flip-flopping, right? Try it out. See what you think. See what you learn from doing it. Okay, another way to address flip-flopping, support your decision without second guessing. Okay, when you're making decisions on a day-to-day basis, even not just with urges, but just generally, stop second guessing so many of your decisions along the way. Be more willing to just lean into them, own them, and then fail with them. Like, some of them are going to fail, and then you just learn how it goes, and it's okay that you fail with some of your decisions, right? And like I said, you're going to get more out of that than if you second guess along the way, making yourself just miserable and draining your energy. Okay, second guessing a decision you already made is like, it's miserable. It can, I mean, you know, maybe it can be fun sometimes, but it can also get in the way of efficiency and effectiveness with what you're going for. Okay. All right, another way to address flip-flopping, stop spending precious energy on judging your past decisions. Okay. Learn what you need to from the mistakes that you've made and move on, right? Support them for what they were. They were the best you could do at the time, and now you learned from it, and then you let it go. Like, spend some time learning from it, but then from there on, like, let it be what it was and let it go. It's time now to let it go. Okay. It is okay that these things happened how they did. Okay. It doesn't mean we're saying you're okay if it always is that way with your behavior in the future. It doesn't mean that you're just letting something you don't believe is something you want to be part of your life be something you just accept is always going to be there. That's not what I'm saying. We're saying the thing that happened in the past, it's okay that that past thing is what it is and that you decided what you decided. It's okay that it exists. Like, stop rejecting your past because it is what it is. There's a reality to it. Make room for your past to exist as it is. Accept it, learn from it, and move forward. Okay. We practice this a lot in the Chain Breaker Coaching Program as well, really all of these things. And when you do this, it just is such a gift to yourself. You'll learn more effectively, you'll move forward more powerfully, you'll be less likely to repeat past mistakes. Okay. So basically what we've done here is we've gone through and addressed these four things, right? The flip-flopping, the judgment, the resistance, the discomfort. Okay. And so now, remember, these are the four reasons that my client gave me for why he wished that he just didn't find naked women attractive. But then, if we can really address these four things and remove them as issues, then is it really still an issue whether you find someone, find whether someone finds naked women attractive, right? Like, this is part of being sex positive, guys, right? The sex positive approach isn't, okay, sex is bad, porn is bad, let's shut down all sex and sexual ideas and everything sex, we're shutting it down, right? That way doesn't work well for most people, okay? So, sex positive is about, yeah, let's make room for us human beings, our sexual beings, right? And I know there are people born with different tendencies, and I know there are people who consider themselves asexual. So I want to honor your experience too. But most of us statistically are sexual beings, and we don't actually need to shut that down to live powerfully and empowered in line with our values. Okay. We don't need to stop all sexual thoughts, urges, and feelings to live in line with the kind of person we want to be or to learn how to do it easily. Okay. So, what I told my client is maybe it's time to drop this idea of wishing that you didn't have all this attraction for seeing naked women or desire for sex, right? Like that thought alone is creating all sorts of resistance. And so what if we just make room for it to be there, right? And then it softens over time. You'll see this. And as you practice these things, it becomes less of an obsession, less of a focus. And you start realizing that thinking of it as a problem is what makes it a problem. Like that's what actually created the problem to begin with, is thinking that the existence of this part of you was a problem. And what if it's not actually a problem to begin with? And then it's way easier to not act on these urges and desires that pass through when you stop making a problem that those urges and desires are there to begin with. Okay. And when you address these four things that we talked about today, you show yourself that it's not really a problem because you're addressing the real issue. Okay. So let go right now. Let go of this idea that you wish you didn't have this attraction to naked women or this sexual thoughts and desires that pop up along. Like, let it go. Stop wishing for that and address the real issue. Okay. It might be similar to what we talked about today. It might be something different for you. If it's something different for you, find out what that real issue is and address it so that suddenly it's not a problem that there's part of you that finds naked women attractive. Okay. You can find naked women attractive and have sexual ideas and thoughts pop up along the way and also easily live in line with your values, change your habits, and enjoy your life while doing so. I know I repeated myself a few times there, but I wanted to just really let that message come through and share it with you today because this is really important, helpful stuff. And I see this with a lot of clients, not just with this one. That's why I wanted to bring it up. You guys keep going. I'm cheering for you. Please reach out if you're at a point where you're feeling like, you know what? Having help with this could really be what makes a difference for me. Because it is. It is what makes a difference for a lot of people. So if you're at that point, then don't be shy. Reach out, DM me, email me. And we'll connect and we'll figure out what next steps could be, and we'll just kind of explore, see if it's a good fit or not. All right. If you enjoyed listening to the How to Stop Looking at Porn and Win Back Your Freedom podcast, you have to come check out the Chainbreaker program. It's my group coaching program through my Chainbreaker Coach app, where you get access to regular group coaching calls and or one-on-one coaching calls, training modules, tools, a community of like-minded guys where we take all of this great information and learn to actually implement it in a game-changing way that works. This is about so much more than just a porn habit. Join us at dannypoleman.com/workwithme. Don't forget to spell Poleman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. Become a chain breaker and learn to unchain your personal power. And remember, the power to make the changes you want is already there. It's just a matter of learning to access it.